Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Our life together as the church after COVID-19 will bring new challenges. For example, we might be tempted to skip the regular gathering of God's people because we're more comfortable streaming it on Facebook instead. May it not be. Join the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood as he explores this theme in his article for the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness titled, Gathering Again, It Will Not Be the Same. Subscribe at cph.org/witness, The Lutheran Witness, Interpreting the Contemporary World from a Lutheran Perspective, cph.org/witness.
It occurred to me early on when it looked like, in the face of a global pandemic, churches were going to be pretty radically affected, that Sunday morning wasn't going to look like Sunday morning anymore for a while. It was going to be an online affair. My primary concern was when this is over, whenever that may be, and however that may be, how are we going to be able to go back to Sunday morning as usual as quickly as possible? Here was my concern. You start an online service and maybe pastor likes it. Maybe a lot of the parishioners like it. And maybe they want to keep it going and just have it as an alternative to gathering together as Christians ought to do on Sunday morning. Now, you got to be patient, but how patient can you be when, well, that's not how we have been called to gather as Christians? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about returning from online to in-person worship. Dr. Mark Wood joins us. He's Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and Revitalization for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of a column for the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Gathering Again, It Shall Not Be the Same. Dr. Wood, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, it's great to be with you this afternoon.
You say that the church was caught flat-footed by the stay-at-home orders. What do you mean by that?
Well, businesses, especially retail operations, a lot of our society has been migrating to online presence. Even brick-and-mortar stores, in addition to their physical presence, have online presence. They recognize the shift of that in the future, where the church, I think we've always thought, we're always going to meet together. You know, we're always going to gather in person. And some churches had, you know, used technology maybe for shut-ins or people who couldn't otherwise be at the worship service. But by and large, we never imagined that we couldn't meet together.
I would like you to talk about your grandmother's recent funeral. What was that like?
Yeah, I'm still processing that. You know, my grandmother, I was blessed with 99 years on this earth, and she passed away during the COVID-19 restrictions. She was in Illinois. The orders were no more than 10 people could be gathered, and so they resorted to live streaming. So we were sitting in our home in Florida watching on television my grandmother's funeral, and it was surreal. It certainly wasn't real. It wasn't being there with the family and, you know, crying together and hugging each other, and or standing in front of the casket, having an opportunity to say goodbye, or being at the cemetery graveside, taking in the reality of it all. In a way, I don't think there's full closure, because it was something, you know, we watch Netflix show 1 minute, the next minute you've got grandma's funeral on the TV. It was really disconnected.
How is the church gathering together different from other gatherings or meetings that, well, a lot of them can be done just as well, if not a little better, online?
Yeah, certainly, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, Holy Communion. How are we going to celebrate the sacrament if we're just online? Then you get to, you know, the sacrament of baptism. But really, I think it's more than that, Todd. You know, it's more than the logistics of distributing the sacraments. You know, we're called together to be a body. That's what the church is. It's a body. And bodies aren't meant to be scattered about. And bodies don't exist in the virtual world. Bodies are physical. bodies, you know, are together. And when we look at the scripture in Romans 12, for example, where we're described as a body, we're told that, you know, we're members of the same body, one body in Christ. And the part that people often skip over is, and individually members one of another. We belong to one another. And if we belong to one another, we need to belong together, and as much as possible, being physically present with one another.
Why should temptation to settle for streaming services post-COVID, as it exists, and I've already heard it within my own congregation, those things, why should that temptation be resisted, Dr. Wood?
Well, you know, I've heard the same thing. You know, we've resorted to streaming our services for the people who were uncomfortable coming in person. Fortunately, here in Florida, we didn't have the same restrictions as other places, so we never stopped having in-person worship. But many people chose to watch the streaming. You know, and there is that temptation. It's like, well, you know, it's comfortable. I'm in my own home. I can watch it later if I want to. I don't have to get dressed up. You know, I can put the pastor on mute if I want to. It becomes part of that individualized, individualistic approach to the faith that is really tearing apart the fabric of not just our church, but society. And to be isolated, to be separated from one another, and rely on streaming worship services is really weakening the body of Christ. It's not a reflection of, you know, we belong to one another. It's a reflection of, hey, I'm my own. I can be on my own. I can stay on my own. I really don't need the rest of you. And that's really dangerous for the church. It's dangerous for each member of the church as well to be so isolated.
Talk a little bit more about that, the dangers of, and it's the larger framework of your concerns, the dangers of extreme individualism.
Well, that seems to be the trend of our culture, is that we've become very individual, and it's reached an extreme. When I was growing up as a kid, we'd watch TV as a family. Of course, we only had four channels, you know, but it became, a TV show was an event that brought us together, and we would, you know, we'd look forward to Adam 12 being on, and the kids, you know, the boys would gather around, and we'd talk about it and look forward to it. Now, you know, somebody wants to watch a show, they stream individually what they want to watch, and you may have people in the same household who are in different rooms watching different shows or watching it on a device like a tablet or a phone because that's their particular preference. There's no interaction. There's no community being built. The shared experience is lost. And so we've seen this trend in our culture. And it's interesting that the COVID-19 pandemic and the response to it was one that it forced people to be in isolation one another. And at first, there were a lot of jokes about, you know, hey, I've been training for this my whole life, or, I'm so looking forward to isolation. But I think we see, as it carried on and prolonged, that people were yearning for other human contact. So this extreme individualism is leaving people wanting. It's leaving people lost, and something's missing from their life. In the church, we see a danger of it as well, because part of being the body of Christ is being in the care and protection of Christ. We're not just his body, we're his bride, you know, and he watches over and guards and protects us. And as a body, we're strong. As a body, we've been told even the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. But as individuals, we're not as strong. Think of the parable of the sheep. You know, a flock of 100 sheep, one wanders off. There's grave danger, not for the 99, but for the one. And when we splinter off from the body of Christ and go off on our own, we're easy prey for the enemy. And we need the strength of the body of Christ and the encouragement of the body of Christ to, you know, be safe in a world that's destructive, a world where, you know, we're the target and there's many predators, a roaring lion seeking to devour us. That's not something you want to face alone. So the whole picture of a body is encouraging us to avoid this individualism that's destructive and dangerous.
Dr. Mark Wood is our guest. We're talking about returning from online to in-person worship. He's author of a column for the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Gathering Again, It Shall Not Be the Same. Stay tuned. The Boy Who Was Lost, The Beggar's Greatest Wish, The Unforgiving Servant. These are some of the 12 stories that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus. Learn more about this resource for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus, 1-800-325-3040.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we will continue our romp through Romans, the law and sin, the interior battle, life in the Spirit, the giver of life, and heirs with Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org, and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
This is Major A.J. Vogel, United States Army.
And this is Pastor Josh Leigaber of Trinity Lutheran Church, a confessional liturgical congregation located at Leesville and Fort Polk, Louisiana.
If you ever find yourself at Fort Polk, we invite you to join us to receive the gifts of Christ in word and sacrament.
For more information, visit us on Facebook or at trinityleesville.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about returning from online to in-person worship. Dr. Mark Wood is our guest. He's Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and Revitalization for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can find out more about LCMS Witness and Outreach Ministry and LCMS Revitalization at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archive. Dr. Wood, before the break, you were talking about how the norm in Scripture for the Christian congregation is to be gathered together in contact with one another as the body of Christ. You also note that in Scripture, sometimes a forced isolation on God's part is a form of judgment against His people.
Right. You know, when we find isolation from one another depicted in the Scripture, it's in context of lament, of hardship, of suffering. We hear like the psalmist crying out in Psalm 10, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" There are times where people go off by themselves for short periods of time, but it isn't to be in isolation. It's to be in intimate communion with the Father. Jesus did this as he prayed. He went off by himself, but he didn't stay off by himself. You know, he was always gathering people around him. He gathered the 12. He gathered other disciples. And so the whole idea of being isolation, of being alone and separated from other people, is an idea of just to be avoided. Just, it's terrible suffering and hardship.
What does the incarnation of Jesus show us about the need for the body of Christ to gather around his word and sacraments?
Well, if we think of Jesus' incarnation, it raises the question, well, why did he do things this way? I mean, being God, he could have saved us any way he wanted to. You know, he could have phoned it in, so to speak. He didn't have to come into our world. He didn't have to become a human being. This is the way he chose. And in every way of God, everything he's done with great intention and planning and purpose, we have things that we can draw from it. Understandings about his nature and our relationship, not only with him, but with one another. So as Jesus came in the world incarnate, in the flesh, in person, to dwell with us, to be with us, he was showing us that this is what we're to do with one another. As we live out our lives in Christ, we're to be with one another. And, you know, the phrase incarnational ministry has been kind of stretched thin and worn out, but there's so much truth behind it. We don't want to lose it, and we don't want to we don't want to sacrifice it to people who would abuse it. We should be in the flesh with one another. We should be there for one another. There's no substitute for that. As you know, people are starting to see this in the COVID-19 response. There's already studies being done talking about how people are not being satisfied through Zoom meetings, and how workers who are constantly on Zoom or another internet-based video service are struggling with it in terms of not being able to communicate fully and actually feeling stressed by it. You know, there's just something that says, something about us that says we need to be together. And of all the places to be together, for us, it should be when we have the opportunity to gather around God's Word and His sacraments. Again, not just for the logistics of it. Think of our liturgy itself. When we gather for the sacrament and we sing the preface, and it's with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, we laud and magnify you, praising you and saying, you know, it just captures the essence of what's really going on there, not just the physical gathering of the people who are in the building at the time, but the gathering of God's people that can't be seen on the other side of the veil, so to speak, who are with us, and we're present with them in this wonderful way that can't be replicated anywhere else, can't be experienced anywhere else in this world. And watching that over the internet isn't going to be the same. It just doesn't do it in the same way of being together in person.
I find it useful, kind of like that old book, Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. For the Lutheran, it's Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned from the Small Catechism, to go back to those words in the explanation of the third article of the Creed, that the Church is called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified. If you would talk about how those terms necessarily go together. We can't split them apart from one another.
Yeah, the third article, it's kind of become my favorite article to meditate on, especially in my role in the Office of National Mission for Witness and Outreach. As I think about, I encourage people to be third article witnesses, you know, in terms of, you know, we can't, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to Him. And what we can't do for ourselves, we certainly can't do for somebody else. You know, it's the Holy Spirit who calls us by the gospel. But if you look at the first part of Luther's explanation, he puts it at a personal level. I believe I cannot, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And if the third article explanation stopped there, well, then we could sit at home and watch church on the internet. We could be individual Christians. We could be individual members of the body of Christ scattered around and not belong to one another. But Luther understood the scriptures well enough to not stop there. And he says, in the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ and the one true faith. And you know, the verb that gets added in that collective part of the third article is the word gather. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one gathering us into the church. It's the Holy Spirit who gathers us into the assembly for the divine service. In reality, if we're fighting against gathering, if we're you know, insisting on having our own way and worshiping the way we want to, where we want to, when we want to, how we want to, we're actually resisting the work of the Spirit who gathers us. And so it's a very dangerous thing to go it on our own, to reject the gathering that the Holy Spirit is doing. In fact, it's a fatally dangerous thing in some people's cases.
Then with about 30 seconds here, Dr. Wood, how should sound theology always guide the church in the logistics of returning to regular worship together?
Well, of course, the scripture calls us to gather, you know, and in Hebrews, and it doesn't call us to gather together in a legalistic way. It's a recognition that here's where God's good gifts are, and here's where we're going to find strength, comfort, encouragement, peace. There's no other place we're going to find these things. There's no other organization other than the church itself that can offer these things. And there's no other place than the local altar and pulpit where we're going to receive these gifts. This is why we need to gather together. It's not to check a box. It's not to keep a commandment. It's to be blessed by God's good gifts and receive the benefits that Christ has won for us on the cross. And it shouldn't ever be a matter of we have to. It should be always a matter of desiring it for the good things that God has provided for us there, and to encourage one another. And if somebody gets kind of distracted along the way and loses their way, let's do that. Let's encourage one another. That's what the scripture calls us to do. Encourage one another to gather together and remind them of the good gifts and where they're to be found, there where Christ has promised to be, in word and sacrament in our local congregation.
Dr. Mark Wood is Director of Witness and Outreach Ministry and Revitalization for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. He's authored a column for the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Gathering Again, It Shall Not Be the Same. Dr. Wood, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, pleasure to be with you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Part 3 of our series on the bodily resurrection in the Old Testament, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.